We enter into your presence with the reverence that it deserves and your word. We're fully conscious of our human limitations to deliver and to receive this word that contains the compressed wisdom of infinite wisdom of Almighty God. We certainly need help. And so we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who hear me remotely, electronically. This word indeed will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and indeed our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, that will free men so that they will become doers of the word and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. And indeed, I will do it with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, today we're going to continue our study in God's word in the book of James. James, the second chapter. And we are starting from verse 1. We finished chapter 1 in our last lesson, where we spent a lot of time on the fact that God wants us to save our souls and practice true religion, or you could say true spirituality, which is shown in visiting the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, on one hand, acts of charity, and on the second hand, and they go simultaneously, you know, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, which translates to using the blood, the word, and the spirit to keep our souls free from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The scriptures are very clear. It says this is true religion. Anything away from that is not true religion. It's a form of religion, you know, but denies the power thereof, form of godliness. And sadly, the church today and the world is full of man's versions, all kinds of, you know, versions of what true religion is. But we thank God for the scriptures that do not keep us in darkness. So we know exactly what we should be doing. You know, acts of charity coupled with keeping ourselves unspotted. And there's only one we can do that, by the blood. There is no man. Marcus says in the book of Proverbs, who can say, I have made my heart clean? None of us. The best of us still sin sometimes. Amen. As we go into perfection, we're going to get rid of that, you know. But even with that, you know, even to get there, he needs the blood. He says, you know, through the blood of the everlasting, I'll make you perfect. So even that perfection is going to, the road through which you're going to get there is by the blood. Because of the sin nature, you got to clean it. So to keep yourself unspotted, you need the blood of Jesus. And of course, you need the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we saw all of this in our last lesson. I just want to mention, I didn't mention at the beginning, these services are available on YouTube. You can watch us live now, both on our website, or go directly to YouTube. And you can also see it after this live recording, the messages will still be there on YouTube, so you can watch it at a time that will be convenient for you wherever you're living all over the world. So today we're in James chapter 2, and we begin from verse 1. Let us read the scripture. It says, my brethren, I didn't hear you. Incidentally, this book and so many of the books of the New Testament are not written to sinners. You know, very often in our thinking, you know, because of the carnal mind, we try and think, oh, well, you know, that's written to some really bad people, and I'm not part of that. No, this is brethren. Hello, somebody. Hello. This is you. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly, like this church, a man with a gold ring and in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, that is, his clothes are not very, they're not designer, and have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and gay there doesn't mean, oh my God, Jesus. You know, it's because of the day we're living in, we have to say these things. It doesn't mean what we say it means today. Here it just means fanciful. Jesus. Don't let me get off on that. That weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. It's James talking. He likes this guy, but he doesn't, you know, he's very, I like James, you know, he shoots from the hip. Amen. To use a cowboy expression. Amen. Even though they're beloved brethren, he doesn't spare them. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you, my beloved brethren, I didn't put that, you know, I put that, but you have to keep the thought. But you, as my beloved brethren, have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? We'll stop there for today. Now, here, James, the Holy Spirit through James, tells us that we should not have respect of persons in the church. Pastor J, I don't think we read the Bible. Well, we do. We just blatantly disobeyed. I think this church, to the glory of God, is one of the very few churches where this thing is not practiced. In many, not all, I must be fair, but in many of churches, including the born-again, spirit-filled Pentecostal churches, they practice this thing. When somebody comes in, they go and put them in a special place. Then when the ordinary person comes in, they put them in another place. Hello, somebody. Amen? And the Bible says, now, there are times you should do that, where you have guests and visitors like the governor or some special person, you know, who is in either some position of authority. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. So that's fine. You know, but even then, that's when that happens. Not that, you know, there's some special seats. The chief seats in the synagogue. Now, of course, there's seats for the pastors here. You know, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, like, if a rich man comes to church now, you know, and everybody, like, if maybe Dangote or somebody like that, you know, comes to this church now, immediately we'll just... Now, if I don't know he's coming and he comes, I might recognize him and greet him. There's nothing wrong in that. But I certainly will not give him a special seat above anybody else. That's wrong. One, you know, he's a guest and, you know, basically if he just came in just to hear the word of God and there's nothing special. Now, if he came in for a special reason or we're doing something special and all of that, you know, maybe during the service we can talk and, you know, and all of that, introduce him. But again, that again will be special. rather than, you know, the ushers are looking for the people with the gay clothing. Gay there just means fanciful, colorful, you know, nice. It doesn't mean what they say it means today. Thank God the Bible was written long before. Thank God. Are you listening to me? All right. So, you know, so what he's saying is that it's wrong for you to have a special set of seats for rich people and another set of seats for poor people. In some churches, some of the people, they even have their name on the seats. And you know what I will say? They'll say, oh, their grandmother or their father, they paid certain money to the church, you know, so this place is reserved for this particular people. Is wrong. That is wrong. And that's what James is teaching against. But we must go beyond even the letter and go into the spirit. What he's actually saying, you know, the spirit of it is that we should not be partial in how we treat people, whether they are rich or poor. You should treat people the same, just like God does. Now, this thing has a two-edged sword. It's on both sides of the equation. In other words, right on the other hand, you should not ignore the rich and not treat them rightly because they're rich. You know, you treat everybody the same, rich and poor. Now, he goes on to tell us a reason why. And this thing, he says, you know, sit here in a good place. Then you say to the poor, stand. They told him, you stand up. You go and, you know, that's wrong. That's what James is teaching against. And then, he goes on to explain the reason why. You know, generally, this is not an absolute truth, but it is a relative truth, and we're going to look at it and give some examples. You know, rich people are usually arrogant. And I'll tell you the reason why in a minute. They usually, not all those, you know, they again depends on how he got his money. Sometimes it doesn't even matter how he got his money. There's something about money. There's something about, you know, being financially and materially well off that causes the heart of man to be proud, arrogant. And there are many times he's very aggressive to the gospel. He despises, you know why? You're the one who needs God. I don't. So let me get off on that. You know, yeah, the rich man thinks, I really don't need God. This religion thing is for poor people. And, you know, people who don't know God, who don't work hard, and they are not very industrious, so that they have to use religion as a cop-out and as a crutch. And so, generally speaking, they despise the gospel. Now, this is not a universal truth, but it is a truth. You know, and they look down on Christians, they look down on the faith, you know, they think, you know, even if you ask them to come, it's just because of their money. You know, the rich man is so self-conscious. If he comes in here, he expects everybody to know he's here. And he actually expects you to do something special for him. And it really insults him when you don't. Do you know who I am? That's a typical Nigerian statement. You know? And one of the reasons why I've had problems with them in this church, because in this church, I don't do it. So if you are the one who comes once, second time, three times, nothing special, you just go somewhere else where they're making father of the day. And the guy is not father, nothing. He's not born again. Even when he's born again, he's probably a baby Christian who really doesn't know anything and should be put at the back of the boat, so where he should be learning. You know, and then, you know, they pump him up and give him a position that he doesn't deserve because of his money. Now, that is typical today. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are many, many churches where they are made pastors depend on your checkbook. Oh, yes. You know, I know of cases of people who they were good Christians, actually. Not that they were bad Christians, but they knew that they were not ready to be pastors. But because they were financially well off, they had a good job, they were in a good position, they had money, you know, they offered them, they asked them to become pastors. I know of one particular case because I was involved. And this person came to me and said, Brother Luby, see what they have done. I said, don't take it. If God hasn't called you, I said, don't do it. And he didn't. He had to leave that church. You know, what were they looking at? Money. So in many, many cases, not in all, but in many, many cases, you know, people are given positions of either deaconship or pastors because of their financial position, not because they are spiritually qualified. In fact, in many cases, they have even thrown away the qualification book. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, today, if you look at some of the people in some places, you know, who are now deacons and pastors, they don't qualify. Some of them even have two wives. I'm not talking about traditional churches. I'm not talking about born again spirit-filled churches. And the Bible says, husband of one wife. Hello, somebody. And yet they make the guy a deacon. You know why? He has money. And what are you going to give them? You know, the kind of money he gives them is so important that the Bible is not important. I know the Bible said that, but that was in the olden days. You know, today we have to be practical. We have to, yes. How is the church going to move forward without money? So we just ignore all of that, you know. God will help him, he will repent. After all, Jesus is merciful. Which is just a twist and a distortion of the truth. Are you listening to me? Yeah. I brought it all out because it goes beyond just sit here and sit there. That's the spirit of what James is preaching. And that's what we need to correct today. Today, in so many places, not all, but in many, many places, in many churches, in many denominations, including born-again, spirit-filled, you know, Pentecostal churches, you know, this spirit of partiality because of money. Don't forget the root of it is money has crept into the church. I say, if you're not a rich person, however spiritually qualified, you can't be a pastor. In some places. Yeah, you know, I'm making noise. Hello? You can't be a deacon. Anybody that is less than 10 million. I'm not saying your faith is not working, but you cannot be a deacon. We need people who can put something. Oh, Igben Gosile. In our language, that means people who can put something down. Not people who just talk, you know. I should try that, you know. Maybe we'll have more money, Pastor G. How counsel you me? Praise the Lord. It's a complete bastardization of the system. And it has produced the rubbish we see today. Strange children. The church now is a caricature of what God intended it to be because of this thing. That's why I must go beyond just sitting. That's the letter, but the spirit behind it is partiality because of money. And giving people positions they do not deserve in the church where they are not spiritually qualified for because they have the finance. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It has always been so. It has not changed. From the time of Lucifer, the very thing that made Lucifer fall is the love of money. The Bible says, look at Ezekiel 28. Let's just quickly go there. Thank you, Bimbo, for this. Love of money is the root of all evil. Wait. Just before we go to Ezekiel, watch this. The love of money is the what? Root. What's the root? It's from where all the evil comes. It's the source. So, where did the evil that made Lucifer, Satan, where did it come from? The love of money. Money has changed, though. But you know, the real problem is not money. See, money itself is not evil. It's not wrong. What is money anyway? Just a medium of exchange. You know, is the thing that money buys. Is the thing that money gives. This is the real problem. Because stupidly and very myopically, that is short-sightedly, many people think that money can buy anything. And it's foolishness. It can't. Now, I know the scripture actually says, and it was written by Solomon. Well, it was still the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even though Solomon was in a bad shape. You know, because, you see, the reason why God allowed it in the scripture, and then God now proved, you know, in fact, that same Ecclesiastes, he says the excellency of wisdom is that it gives life. Money can't give you life. Money answereth all things. Correct. But there's something he didn't say. It's there implicitly, but it is not there explicitly. You need two things: honesty of heart. Do you understand? Because anybody with an honest heart knows that money doesn't answer all things. So he means money answers all things physical. He didn't put the word physical there, but that's what it means. That's why God allowed it in the scripture. You know, if you need any physical thing, money can get it. If it's a house, money can get it. If it's a car, money can get it. If it's whatever, you know, if an airplane, whatever. There is nothing money does not answer physically. But it does not answer everything spiritually. Are you listening to me? Is money important? Very important. Is money good? Very good. But the thing about money is that if you have money, you know, and you do not have the spiritual power to handle it, the love of money will bring evil to you. You know why? It always makes you think you can be independent of God. That is the danger. Look at Lucifer. Let's go to the root. The Bible says it's the root. So where? He says he's the father. He says he's a liar and the father of lies. So where did evil come from? It came from Lucifer. It came from Satan. There was no evil before. It was Lucifer that conceived it in his heart. Are you listening to me? And you need to understand something about evil. I've been teaching about this in recent times. You know, and as I teach this now, the Holy Spirit is bringing it back to me that I should remind us. You see, evil is just a distortion of good. Never forget that. Are you listening to me? So, once God created good things, the potential for evil is there. Because all you have to do is take what God has created and twist it. And that becomes evil. So God doesn't create evil, but by creation, God created the potential for evil. And then taught his creations that this thing I have made, this is how it works. Don't distort it, because once you distort it, it becomes evil. Is it clear? That line of thinking is critical. You have to understand that. Is this clear? So, let's go to Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel at 28, you know, somewhere from verse 12, he's talking about the devil. You know, you can go and do your Bible study on that later. Just take it from me. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's the prince of, king of Tyrus, you know, which is, you know, spiritual. There was a physical prince of Tyrus, and there was a spiritual king on top of him, you know. Says, son of man, you know, take up, everybody read with me. Say, son of man, I didn't hear you. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him,
Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is the devil. That's how he was originally. God never made anything bad, including Lucifer. Next verse. And you have been in Eden, the garden of God. This alone answers the question of how old the earth is. It's not 6,000 years old. So all the people who derailed their faith because of science, we were talking about it the other day, you know, because of science, all the science books show, the science shows that the earth is millions of years old, yet the Bible says the earth is made in 6 days, therefore the Bible is just, you know, mythology. you know, number one, you're dishonest, because the Bible never said so. You haven't read the Bible properly. Amen. Here is Lucifer in Eden long before Adam was created. So Eden was in the earth before Adam was ever made. In other words, the Eden we see in Genesis chapter 1 is just a renovation of the original Eden that was destroyed because of Satan's rebellion. May we be honest. Now, the biggest problem God has is dishonesty. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. He says, for that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them so that they are without excuse. Do you know, I have shared this before, that's how I got born again. Oh, yes, so. I got born again reading those scriptures. I didn't get born again in a crusade. I didn't get born again somebody preaching. People have been preaching to me for years. I didn't listen. The Bible says, you know, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not hear. I think that's been true of me to the glory of God. Amen. You know what it says? It says, all that ever came before me, they are thieves and robbers. So when all the Babylon thieves and robbers, when they were preaching, I didn't listen. Because I'm true sheep. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The Bible says so. Jesus says so. You know, all that ever came, they are thieves. He said, but the sheep did not hear them. He said, but the sheep did not hear them. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, the voice of a stranger, you know, somewhere down deep inside my heart. And I was just a kid. You know, I just know this is not true. The Bible says it's made manifest in our consciences. These people, we haven't started 419, but this guy, you know, I remember I was somewhere with my friends who were all, you know, non-Christians at that time. One of us was a Christian, you know, when their house, you don't see anybody, you know, and we're watching television, and or a robot or somebody, some evangelist, came up on the television, and his dad was the newspaper, and we were all just talking and jesting, just young boys from University of Battle, you know, and the man started and all that, and the father just said, this man is a con man. You know why? There was a big pool for money. I love Oral Roberts, don't misunderstand me. But you know, sometimes that overemphasis, you have to give this money now. The man just said, you as the people are just coming. You know, it's a young boy, I was maybe 17, 18. It all hit my heart. I said, probably true. He said, the sheep did not hear them. At least for me, Olubi, I didn't hear them. I was during my youth call. God just put me in one village somewhere. It wasn't really a village, but it was a small town, you know. And I was searching for truth. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And I wanted to find out how to do it. And the principles on which you'll be have a successful life. That's all over. I wasn't looking for born again or anything. I didn't even know, you know, I knew, but I didn't even think it was relevant. I'm being honest. As I read the New Testament, and I got to that Romans. I said, they never told us this. They never told us it. Because you know why? It was true. You know, I'm a scientist. This was I couldn't argue with it. That which may be men of God is made manifest, for God has showed it there, so they are without excuse. I said, yeah, I'm in trouble. It's true. I was my main reaction. I was in trouble. And I kept reading. Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. I didn't understand it all, but I understood enough to know that the problem was a nature. The problem was not the cigarette, it was not the girlfriends, it was not the gouda, it was not the whatever. That was not the problem. The problem was all have sinned because of Adam. So the way you get rid of things, get rid of the sin through Jesus. Then you get rid of the cigarette and you get rid of the girls and you get rid of the gouda. Which is exactly what happened to me. It's as simple as that. All he just needed was honesty. That's an honest heart. You know that problem we're having today? Don't read their Bible, read it upside down. Suppress the truth. Take the parts you like. The parts you don't like, you know, remove it. Are you ignore it? Thank you, Pastor Wega. You know, the Bible says the evil. It says the cast. Anybody can read this and say God is bad. Say so you are still up there. Let's get back to Ezekiel. You know, it's the truth I'm telling you. That's how I'm born. You know what? I believe this. I believe it all my heart. And history and time will prove me right. I am just a first fruits. There is a whole army of people like me who are not born again yet. They are waiting for someone who will tell them the truth. They are tired of these con men. Thieves and robbers. And really, that's what they are. You know what Jesus said? He said, they have made my father's house a den of thieves. So most of the people preaching are thieves. So the sheep are not hearing them. I really believe that. I really believe that. They're thieves and robbers. And the sheep are not hearing them. But when the real thing comes and says, this is our God, we're waiting for him. People want, you know, the average person wants the truth. He doesn't want all this con and all this, you know, 419 and twist everything. Tell the guy the truth. Like I told you two, three weeks ago, I was in England preaching at the wedding of the daughter of one of my friends. After the message, very unusual. How did I preach on? I just preached on marriage, you know, communication, mutual submission. Simple, you know, 15 minutes, I was done. Because it was an Anglican church, it was Church of England. I wasn't going to start, you know, praying in tongues and misbehaving all over the whole place. And that's the problem, but we lack wisdom. You know, so God help me. And after the message, I was going to my car. Pastor Wally was with me. This man walks up a Jew. Jewish. He said, I'm an atheist Jew. He said, but for one Jew to you, a Christian, Pastor, I really was blessed by your message. I have never heard anything like that. He said, it's real wisdom that you gave us. What happened? The sheep. He didn't stop there. He now sent a text message to the bride, who is my friend's daughter. You know, that, you know, how you came for the wedding and everything. And he said, and that pastor. He put it inside the text. You know, man of great wisdom. He said, I was so blessed. Unbeliever. Jew. Atheist Jew. He put it there. Atheist. So the daughter forwarded it to her dad. Her dad forwarded it to me. I said, Pastor, everybody was blessed in that wedding. He said, the best part of that wedding was the message. He said, this is what he said. To the glory of God. He said it was like dew was dropping on people's heads.
as they were hearing the word.
He said, He said, Pastor, I've heard you preach before. He said, but this one was different. What am I saying? My sheep hear my voice. People are not, they're not interested in all this rubbish, you know, and all this con 419 and bring your 10,000 bring your we polluted the whole thing. Let's get back to Lucifer.
That has been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabret, that means pipes. That's why the devil is the guy in charge of music. And of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was what? This is not a man. Men aren't created, they are born. So we know he's an angel. Hello? This is the devil. Next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan knows about covering. Trust me. He was the one who provided the original covering for the earth, and only God knows how many other planets that we don't know. And I have said thee so. And thou hast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. That's talking about the glory of God and the presence of God, you know. Satan is used to all of this thing. That's why he can bamboozle you. If you don't know the word. You want glory, he will show you. You want power, he will show you. I used to do it. He knows what will fly and what will not fly. That's why you have to be very careful, because Lucifer has become like an angel of light. That's why if you believe only in vision and manifestations, you will be deceived. You must know the word. Amen. Next verse. And thou wast perfect. I like this scripture because it exonerates God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till what? Iniquity was found. Where? In thee. Being a created being, he had the capacity to distort what God had put in there. What God put there was perfect. Then Satan changed it. How did he do that? It's very, you know, when you begin to have revelation knowledge is beautiful because it makes everything clear. You know why? Once you cut off from the life source is what gives the power to keep the thing correctly in correct configuration. Once you depart from God, once you cut off from God, the power to keep things in the correct configuration is no longer there. Therefore, of necessity, they become distorted. That's how evil came. Since till iniquity, how did he get? Because he no longer was in contact with God. You know why?
Well, read the next verse.
Is this Sherry Kitty don't follow? This money thing. May God have mercy on us. Wait. Connect the two verses. The first verse says, till iniquity was found in thee. The next verse is telling us how. By the what? Multitude of thy
money.
You heard of Mercantile Bank? Merchandise. Money. The root of all evil. How's iniquity found in Satan? A multitude of thy merchandise. He had a lot of material things. Man, this guy had a whole planet that we know of. I'm almost certain.
When we get to heaven, we'll get more detail. We don't know this is speculation, but you know, we can draw it from the Bible. I'm almost certain he had more than a planet. He probably had this whole solar system, maybe a few galaxies. The guy felt he didn't need God anymore. Need God. I'm God here. And he was.
us. You see, the problem, God doesn't mind you being like God. In fact, God wants you to be like God. Who gave it all to him? I have said this so. God hasn't, you see, God is not insecure. God doesn't have any problem giving you things and blessing you. He doesn't have any problem. God says, acknowledge me. Because I put you there. Incidentally, I keep you there. Thank you, dear. He opposes all things by the word of his power. The day you start thinking you are there by the power of yourself, he will simply just withdraw a little bit of the power. Then distortion and iniquity will start. Then you will then know that you are not God. Are you following me? We all need to learn this lesson in the light of the Spirit without measure that is coming. Because the problem is men always forget. We always forget. Once the glory comes, hallelujah, and the power and the money, real, all this chicken change we've been seeing. Amen. I don't know, I'm going to preach this later on, maybe, you know, but you know, when I was a kid, there was nothing called billionaire. It was only millionaire. You know, with the creation of the microcomputer industry, and we didn't have all that before. All computers, when I was a kid, computers were just big things, you know, but through knowledge and wisdom, God gave them the understanding of miniaturization, you know, integrated circuits. I still remember, I was then Pastor Boyega, you know, my first calculator I saw was 1972. It had just started with micro, you know, semiconductors and microprocessors starting in 71. My dad was working in Texaco, the oil company, and some American friends came down to visit my dad and brought us Hewlett Packard. I can never forget. Programmable. So I was on holidays. I went to see my dad. And I said, Olubi, you like this? I hadn't seen anything like it in all my life. Wow! You could put the sign in degrees. Then you could change it to radians. It could calculate costs. It can calculate... The thing I have to go to log table to go and look at? My goodness, what is this? I opened the instruction manual. I didn't understand half of it. Wow. 972. That was what created a new vista of wealth and created the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs. So today, we now have billionaires. Bill Gates is still the richest guy in the world. I don't want to get involved into Bill Gates, but let me just tell you. You know why he stayed there? He keeps giving. Another message for another day. Some people take a while, but after a while, he'll come back to number one. And he's so humble. He'll come to Nigeria, he'll go to play with India, go and... You don't see, when Bill Gates comes to Nigeria, you don't see him on the face of newspaper, you know, in all the big hotels, you don't... Yes. He just comes in quietly. Just goes to help. We need to learn! We don't know nothing, Pastor G. You know, if it's one silly fellow who doesn't even have 1/10 of what he has, tell them I'm coming. You just see, your suit is just ordinary, just like any other person. So, just nice guy. Anyway, I don't want to get off into that. You know, they now became billionaires. A billionaire is 1,000 million. The next step is trillionaire. And look at the trillionaires, I'm looking at them. The church. No individual has hit the 1 trillion mark yet. We are far from it. Bill Gates right now, he's about just 100 million, and 100 billion. Excuse me. You know, I'm talking about individual net worth. But it's coming. But if you don't know what I'm teaching you now, it will destroy you. But the multitude of thy merchandise, am I talking to anybody here?
They have filled the midst of thee with what? Violence, and thou hast sinned. There was nothing called sin before. Satan invented it.
When I say invented, what I mean is, I've explained, you know, by disconnecting from God, there was a distortion inside his heart, and it created iniquity. Is this clear? This is how it happened. Let me just stop here. That's why the Bible says, the love of, see how it came? By the multitude of thy merchandise. That's why it is the, not money, it is the love of money that is the root. That's it right there. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, let's come back to us and James chapter 1, chapter 2. Do you see the roots behind the thing? The spirit behind it? So it's not just going off, this person sit here and this person sit there. Why? Because of money. Because of the love, excuse me, because of the love of money. You love money, you start giving people positions they don't deserve. You start treating them partially because of the money that they can give. And this should not be so in the house of God. However, sadly, it is so in many, many places. But God's going to clean all that up. Are you listening to me? Let me just, you know, take one or two examples. We'll continue our next lesson. You know, because you need some practical examples to understand. I've mentioned this in passing. I will reiterate it. You know, the rich people are usually arrogant. Not always, but usually they are arrogant. And the reason is they think wrongly they don't need God. Because they are so sufficient materially and financially. They don't really, you know. So when you're not rich, when you're not as rich as they are materially, and then you are praying and you are binding the devil, they also look at you and feel sorry for you. I know. You know why? I used to be like that too. Before I got born again. And I look at them, I don't mind them. I don't mind them. You know, they're also a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. And they're using religion as a crutch. You know, to cover, you know. And, you know, sadly, we were right in some cases. That observation was not totally wrong, even though it was not justifiable. You know, even though it was right, it was still wrong because people who were looking at were wrong. That's why don't look at people. Don't let your destiny be dependent on what one person did or one other. Find out what the Bible says. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Amen. So these guys, you know, the rich people, and James says this here, he said they despise, they oppress you, they draw you before judgment, they blaspheme the worthy name. You know, that's why in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, I think it's in verse 8, he said, see, there are not many rich, not many noble. The rich, they don't usually feel attracted to the gospel. That's why he didn't say none. He didn't say not all. He said not many. You know, you still have some sensible rich people, you know, who come to God. But you also, a lot of rich people, the same thing it did for Lucifer is doing in their hearts. The multitude of their merchandise makes them think they don't need God. Psalm 73. He said their eyes stand out for fatness. The Bible there. It's good to read the Bible. So your eye will open. Give me Psalm 73. Their eyes stand out with, and they have more. Next verse. They are corrupt. And they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. Who is God?
They will not even say it like that today, but they will all say, please don't disturb me, I'm very busy now. Yes. Next verse, after this verse 8. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh throughout the earth. Go back, I think where he says, there's one other scripture I wanted here. You know, where he says, they are not in trouble like other men. Where is that scripture? There it is. Money is answering all things. Supposedly. He doesn't know there's some kind of trouble that money will not answer. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. He says, it's as a high wall in his conceit. Psalm 18. I believe it is. Proverbs 18. Thank you, Prof. Proverbs 18. Where are you? 33. Proverbs 18:33. There's something I want us to learn here. For... Oh, no. It's wrong scripture. Where it says, you know, they are 18:11, thank you. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. How can you make money your strong city? But you know, if you never knew Jehovah properly, you will actually think that money is your strong city. You go to the doctor, they say this operation is going to cost you, just put the money down. Mm. They do the operation, the thing is, works. So, I don't need God. Hello? Yes. He's strong city. And as a high wall, watch this, in his own conceit. He's deceived. And interestingly, he has allowed himself to be deceived. This is a big lesson. I cannot overemphasize this truth enough. You know why? I have seen it both in the Bible and in contemporary times. You understand? What would make a guy like Solomon misbehave? Who knew God? In fact, he didn't pay God. God said he appeared to him twice. You know why? When comfort comes, when money comes, there is always a tendency to forget God. There is a tendency. I'm not saying we should do it, but you know, and so we have to walk. That's why God said, I will prosper you as your soul prospers. God knows you. If he gives you too much, beyond what your soul can handle, your soul will not have the spiritual forces of temperance, of humility, of gentleness, of kindness, to be able to control it so that it will not become conceited. You get the money too quickly. Now why will that he that maketh haste to be rich will not be innocent? Does God want us to be rich? Yes, but certainly not quickly. And that goes totally cross-grain the motivational message. But that is Bible. Does God want us rich? Yes, but certainly not quickly. Certainly not more quickly than you are saving your soul. You know why? The money will destroy you. The multitude of your merchandise. We fill your heart with corruption and wickedness. And you would think there is none like you in all the earth. Better men than you have been swept away with money. I look back on my own life and the lives of some of the people around me, my family and friends. I've seen it over the years. You get money and get it too quickly. That's when you start thinking that I need another small wife. It's money. When you didn't have money, you won't think of that. Say, man, get power, do as you like. Yeah. That's the thing about money. People who would never, I know guys, you know, some of them are even dead now, sadly, you know, who would never have thought of, you know, misbehaving outside their marriage home. When the money came, and there was a lot of it, it is easy, very easy. Can buy a house in Paris and put somebody there, nobody will know. It's money. What he would never dare to do before. But now I can just call, you know, a private jet, just pick the person up, meet him. The wife will never know. How will she know? He's going on business trip. I got bad news for them. It will kill you. I know people don't like that. Come on, my other pastor will be preaching. It will kill you. If you are doing that and you are hearing this message and you're committing adultery and you're using your money to do evil things against your wife, your children, and your family and your business, it will destroy you. The Bible said the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. It's not a curse, it's a fact. Stop it! The money you got, where did you get it from? Don't you remember where you started? That woman who suffered with you. The Bible says, deal not treacherously with the wife of your youth. It's one of the characteristics of Satan. Treachery. Once the heart comes and has money, the first casualty is the wife. Because he has money. That's why, you know, I'm going back to Bill Gates again. It's one of the reasons why I respect him. You know, I know some people who know him personally. You know, as I asked him, I said, is he a Christian? He said, he's not a Christian yet, but... Bill Gates is a sharp guy. Oh. I'm sure he's seen through all this 419. But I know such guys, when they see the real thing, you'll go for it. They've seen too. You know, if you watch television in America and you watch the so-called gospel, you will get sick. Especially if you are as rich as Bill Gates. Say these ones. That's how I will feel. That's how I used to feel if I got born again. So I can imagine, you know. But he's been faithful to his wife. That same girl. From when he first started, still this one now, Melinda. I have kids. Biggest richest man in the world. He's been richest man in the world for about 25 years. Yes, he will go to the supermarket with his wife. They'll be pushing. He'll be picking something from the. Even if they are there, they'll be hidden. He'll be picking the conflicts and this from the something. He'll be pushing cart. The day I saw that thing, I said, this guy is different. I said, this guy. I don't know him. I said, but you see, it takes the mercy of God. Because most people don't even have 1/10, 1/100. I'm not going to mention any names here. Their mouth is against the heavens. They begin to talk as if there is no but none like them, and all they have is 1 or 2 or 3 billion. May God help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God. You know, this stuff is so important. You know. I'm going to give 2 scriptural examples and I will close. They are bad examples, but they're examples we need to learn of. Then I'll give a good example, and then in my main message, I'm going to expand on the good example. Let me start with the bad examples, and I'll give a good example, and then we'll close. There are 2 people in the Bible, you know, they're kings. They started well. One's name was called Uzziah. The Bible says, let's quickly go there. Am I helping anybody here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's look at Isaiah first. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. 2 Chronicles. Now, go to verse 15. This is Uzziah. This is a person God had mercy on and helped. Watch this. And he made in Jerusalem engines. That's old English. You know, these were very sophisticated instruments back in those days. you know, invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, you know, so that they could fire. They didn't have artillery like we have today. They didn't have guns, but they invented something that would be like a gun that could throw rocks, very heavy ones, and hit the enemy far away. You know, it was like a medieval, olden day artillery. Cannon, thank you. To be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was what? Spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped. Stop! Who helped him?
God.
Among that, Beo.
God.
Ah, may God have mercy on us. And he was marvelously helped. The Bible doesn't mention God explicitly, but it's there. Who is the helper?
The Holy Ghost.
We always forget. Till he was strong.
Verse 16.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Number two example, Asa.
Asa's example is even, Asa was a good king. This is, I'm preaching, I don't know, I'm emphasizing this thing because I know what is coming. This spirit without measure and the globe, humanity has never seen anything like it. Photographic memory, language ability, artistic, musical, mathematical, political miracles, economic miracles, we'll be the richest people in the world. It's coming.
Yeah, like Jesus said, the hour now is. Are you following?
If your heart is not where it should be, it will skew. That's one of the reasons why God's been a little bit slow about this. It's not slow. It says, though it tarry, wait for it, but do not tarry. Because God, he's over the years. You help people, they forget.
Second, let's go to Asa now. Second Chronicles 15. Let's look at verse 7 first, and then we now jump to chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 15, 7. But be ye strong therefore. No. This is not what I want. Where it says, and Asa was a good king. And, you know, his heart was perfect before the Lord. Was it verse 3? 2 Chronicles verse 3. Quick. 2 Chronicles, look at where it says, and Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord. It's 2 Chronicles. I looked at it this morning. Where in the world are you? It's 2 Chronicles. Is it 15 or 16? Quickly get it for me. 2 Chronicles. Are you there? And look at, let me see, verse 3. No. Look at 14. Verse 2. Thank you. Look at 2 Chronicles 14. Okay, and here it says in 1 Kings, you know, it doesn't really matter. It says, nevertheless, Asa's heart, open your mouth, was perfect with the Lord. All is a good king. Oh, this is a good king. But look at what happened to him. Now, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and look at verse 7. I'm going to talk more about this in my main message. We're going to talk about Joseph. Joseph is a good example. These are bad examples. At that time, Hanani the seer, that's why they don't like prophets, came to Asa the king and said unto him, because you relied, open your mouth, brethren, on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. This same Asa trusted God when the Ethiopians came. That's why the Bible says the eyes of the Lord to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. This same Asa. Now look at verse 12. Lord have mercy. And Asa in the 30th and 9th year. No. Go back to verse 8. Excuse me. We jumped something very important. So now the prophet is now telling him his history. You know, when God wants to deal with you, he will begin to tell you your history. And where he took you from. When you forget who made you who you are. We're not the Ethiopians, and Libyans are a huge host. In fact, if you go and read the scriptures, we're over a million man army. Akasa defeated them. With very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord, this is one of the scriptures we love so much. Run to and fro, show himself strong, bow for the, you know, he said, you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you have what? Next, verse 10. Watch this man. Why is this? It's written for our admonition. That's why the Bible, God put it. He said, the things which are written aforetime are for our own. We're going to see that more in my main message later on today. He says, and Asa was wroth. Just like so many people are angry with us. Don't lie. And put him in the prison house. For he was in a rage because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Dearly beloved, I want to ask a question. It's a very important question. What changed? This man had a good heart.
Yes.
The Bible says so. You know what? He disconnected from the source.
Amen.
I've said it many, many times. I'm going to say it. I'm going to paraphrase it in a way that all of us can appreciate. Backsliding doesn't start overnight. It doesn't happen, rather, overnight. It starts. Let me use a very simple example. Imagine a person who has been praying 4 or 5 times a day, every 6 hours, and all of that. Says one thing now drops to one. That's when you start checking yourself. You read his Bible every day. Suddenly, don't read every day anymore. That starts reading it once in a week. He's too busy and he's too, you know, I don't really like all this. I know it's God, but, you know, that's where it starts. That's when all the danger alarm bells should be ringing. Because the power he was getting before has diminished. So the heart begins to deteriorate. If it is not correct, that's why, thank God, you come to a church like this where we keep you on your toes and we keep your feet to the fire. And people don't like it. But that thing will save you. Because you see, if you are left to yourself, especially when money comes, see, most comfort, material comfort and money comes, you feel you don't need to do as much as you used to do before. After all, God is there. Praise God. all this one we used to is young people who are still good to all along with you, Lord, people God has not yet helped. But we who God has helped, so I am blessed of God. we don't need, it's the truth. It's not said. I'm bringing it out so it can be clear to us. We're going to feel. So what happens is that it now drops. You know, after a while, people just come to church every Sunday, come all meeting, prayer meeting, everything. After a while, it's not going once in a week. Oh, my pastor, I'm sorry, I had to travel. After a while, the heart begins to. That's what happened to Asa. He started giving more attention to the engines, to what people were saying about him all over. They were inviting him, special guest. He would go to Syria, he would open something, they would say, come and give us a talk on your engine. I'm painting a contemporary picture so that you can get it. That's what happened to this man. So his heart. Out of the heart flow the forces of life. So the force of life started decreasing. What would make Asa, a person who feared God, who loved God, lock up a whole prophet? Hey! God forbid bad thing. Simply because the prophet told him the truth. He had
two reactions. He could have been like David, who fell before Nathan. Got angry. Bible says, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I'm getting rich! So you talk to me, I'm king, man. Told him. Go and lock him up. I hear you, Jaja. That's what happened. That's what happened. That is what happened. Backsliding, that's how it starts. Once, watch this. The frequency and the quality of your prayer life and your fellowship, once it starts to drop, start ringing all the alarm bells, quickly repent and get back. Because if you don't, that heart will start to deteriorate. Next verse 11. Hey! And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though they are written in the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12. And in the 30th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. You see what caused it. See, sickness must have a road to which to come down. It can't just come. It's a very important lesson. And in his disease, and watch this, watch the scripture. And he was exceeding great. He wasn't big at first. The thing came, and he didn't go to God. It started as a small thing. If he had quickly, you know, God is a good God. When God chases you, what you should do is repent. The disease kept increasing. Watch this. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord. Money, money, money. Money can buy all things, answer it all things. Get me the best doctors, man. He could afford it, but the doctors couldn't heal him. Don't ever forget it, brethren. There are many things money cannot buy. It cannot buy long life. Thank God for Pastor Ibrahim's message on Wednesday. It cannot buy peace of mind. It cannot buy godly children. It cannot buy divine protection. And it certainly cannot buy divine health. Money has its limitations. It's important in its place, but never put it above God. Don't make the mistake of Asa. Next verse. And Asa slept. He died. He's a man who should have lived longer, should have done greater things for God. Because he trusted in physical things. His material wealth, his physical and material wealth, he trusted in that above God, even though he knew God first. Correction, even though it was God who helped him to get it. That's the tragedy of this thing. I deliberately did this. Later on in my message this afternoon, I'm going to be talking about Joseph. I actually didn't plan it, but it's just all dovetails. You know, Joseph is a very good example. Joseph became the richest and one of the most powerful men on the planet in his time. But he never forgot the God who took him there. His heart did not depart from God. Even when he had money, he had power, and guess what? He was even in Egypt. The best excuse. No temple, no priests, no pastor, no overseer. After all, Asa had seers, he had a priesthood. He had all the religious paraphernalia that should have kept him in check. Joseph didn't have any of those. I got to close. And Joseph was much richer and much more powerful than Asa. But Joseph didn't skew. he kept his heart. This thing is a heart issue, dearly beloved. He kept his heart connection with God at the height and the peak of his glory and his fame. He did not forget God. His brothers came and said, "Ah, you're going to deal with us now." After their daddy died, Joseph began to cry. He said, "Am I God?" He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." It shows you how that man's heart, he kept his heart all of those years. Will you keep your heart when God blesses you with the blessing of Joseph? Let us pray. God bless me. God bless me. When you don't see this, God is doing something. He's still working on that heart. He kept him in that prison for 2 extra years. He was working on his heart because God knew what was coming. And thank God Joseph responded to the teaching, because somebody can be taught and not listen. After all, Asa was taught. After all, Uzziah was taught. Let's talk to God. Please don't make these mistakes. Great wealth, great power, great wisdom is coming to the church with the release, the manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Make up your mind now that no matter what comes, the frequency and the quality of your fellowship with God will not diminish. Make it the law of the Medes and the Persians that altereth not. Daniel, in the busy, as a prime minister, the head of all the economy of an entire empire, he made sure he prayed 3 times a day. He didn't play around with that, because he understood his source. There is a longing
only you can feel, a raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne.
There is a longing.
There is a longing
only
you can feel.
My soul
is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I'm known.
Drink from the river,
close before your throne.
Take me deeper.
Yeah.
God. We're going to pray in a minute. I have something I believe God wants me to say. And to the glory of God, I will use myself as an example. Over the years, and I'm certainly not where God wants me to be yet. God doesn't finish with me yet. But I can use this as a simple example. See, God is not interested. I have to be careful where I say it. Religious activity does not equate to spirituality. The personal prayer life and walk in the spirit and heart connection, humility and attitude to God is the key to Christianity. Sometimes I'm out of church. I have to be. I have things to do. I have to be invited places. But one thing that never over the years suffers is my personal connection with God. You can ask my wife. She's a witness. I don't care whether I'm in New York, Los Angeles, Honolulu. I don't care where it is. I will get up in the morning and I'll do my prayers. I will read my... I can be on the plane, first class lounge. Food all over the whole place. I'll say they should wait. Remember on a recent trip, I was traveling in first class cabin. And a lady came up to me and said, Mr. Johnson, where? I said, I'll tell you when I'm ready. I won't read anything for the next 3 hours. She said, thank you, sir. Did my prayers, read my Bible, spent time with God, did a few things God wanted me to do. Then after that, I now called the lady. I said, okay, yeah, bring me something. You see, this is the... I use that myself as an example. Because by the grace of God, I've been exposed to a significant degree of wealth and comfort. But I have, by the grace and the mercy of God, not allowed it to diminish or to reduce the frequency and the quality of my heart fellowship with God. So I deliberately practice those things. Deliberately. No matter how it is. When I get somewhere, there was a time we also went somewhere, you know, and we're going on a holiday and, you know, this and that. I look at the thing and I plan my schedule. I said, no, that's too early for me. I have to pray. So I tell the person, I call the cab. I said, don't come at 8 o'clock. You come at 12. It's my money anyway. I tell you what I want to do. Do it deliberately. I look at the schedule. I make sure nothing interferes with my heart. And that's why, by the mercy and the grace, God has kept me. No, I'm not better than any other person. No, that's not true. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. We all have, listen to this, the same God potential. There is nothing I or any other great man of God or any other man of God has done that you can't do. It's not true. We have the same heart. God says he fashions all their hearts alike. Oh yes. What I've done, you can do and do better. That's the truth. But will you? It's the issue. When you are exposed to, when you have the power, when it's in your own power, what do? Do you indulge? Do you put God on one side? That begins to tell God, what should we do later on? He that is faithful in little shall also be faithful in much. He that is unfaithful in little shall also... That's where it is. Now let's pray. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us.
as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that I should not have respect of persons because of money, that I should not allow money to change my value system. My God and my Father, I thank you for your word that in this end time, you're going to bless us with great material wealth, financial wealth, and wisdom that the world has never seen. And I know you're preparing us for this. Father, now today, now today, by your mercy and by your grace, I bring my heart before you. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I determine in my heart to be like Joseph, to be like Daniel, to be like David. That no matter how you prosper me, no matter how much you bless me, no matter how much you exalt me, my heart's loyalty, humility towards you will only increase. It will never change. I will stay in constant contact with you through prayer and your word, no matter what you give me. Have mercy on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka to freda, zele piki to freda, ziki to freda ngala, lambreka tusko freda, zereki to freda, lopiki tusko fridi, zofreda, zelambreka taska, zofreda le, zafreka kramatulo moshanga, zofreka kramaturia, lambreka matulo mto freda. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.